You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
It is Friday, March 7th, 2014. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the three-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. It's Casual Friday, folks. You know what that means. Cliff Schechter will be with us today. Also, to provide movie recommendations, Isabel Gillies will be joining us. Also on the program today, CPAC in full swing. Paul Ryan, a not very bright person's idea of a bright person, tries to get touchy-feely with the implications of what happens when you give kids food to eat at schools. Also on the program today, more on the Senate's rejection of Gebo Abigdile's nomination to the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice, and a bill offered by Senator Gillibrand on providing more accountability for sexual assault in the military fails to overcome a filibuster in the Senate. Inequality, it hurts economic growth. All that and more, apparently, in Canada. It's nice to see the Canadians upset about Americans coming in and stealing their jobs. In this case, there's not enough Canadian content in their porn industry. But we'll get to that. What's that?
There are very practical people.
Well, there are Canadian rules about that. Just a little housekeeping. Today, ladies and gentlemen, I will be filling in for Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman radio program, which starts at 3 p.m. Eastern. We'll go to 6 p.m. You can stream it live here or at tomhartman.com. And for members, we will make that available as a podcast, maybe in a couple of chunks. Not quite sure yet. And fair warning, I will be having David Dayan on to talk about postal banking. I just can't help myself, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to take a break. It's Casual Friday, folks. When we come back, we'll be talking to the never casual Cliff Schechter.
Breaking down.
We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Casual Friday, and the way we do things around here on Casual Friday is we have the very much buttoned up Cliff Schechter here and try and get him to let his hair down a little bit. But before we do, the way that we get him in the mood, of course, is to serenade him with the Cliff Schechter theme song.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Cliff Schechter. Hello, Cliff.
Hello there, Samuel. How are you?
I'm well. How are you? I got to say that today, believe it or not, I am celebrating my son's one-year birthday.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, can you believe it?
It just, you know, they say it flies. I think the saying is the days take forever, but the years fly by.
That's, I've never heard that saying, but that's exactly right. I'd say also
isn't
the
that
weeks,
right with kids? It
the
is.
Weeks and the day. Yes, the days take forever, but the years fly by indeed. And now he's like, he's full on walking. Like he'll go like 10, 15, 20 feet now when he walks. And it's
that is amazing.
Yeah, he's and he's playing the violin. He's playing the violin.
Have you gotten him his cricket rifle yet?
Of course. Are you kidding? That was the first thing that we did before he could even eat Cheerios. We got him a rifle just to learn to protect himself. And that,
or so you could just shoot the Cheerios and you know, hunt them.
That's right. Well, he's got to figure out how to fend for himself when the raging hordes take over the world. He's got to fend for himself. In fact, I'm glad you mentioned that, Cliff.
I didn't mention it on purpose for any kind of a segue, by the way. It was totally random.
Well, CPAC is on, and the craziness has been, it's almost now not even interesting. Although Wayne LaPierre gets up in front of the CPAC crowd, and, you know, I think this is really telling. If people want to understand the relationship between the cultural identification between these gun nuts and the rest of the conservative project, you need only to listen to the vision that Wayne LaPierre has of our world now, or of our, more specifically, American society, and how this dovetails with the same thing that Rush Limbaugh will say about just about anything, to justify just about anything. But here it is. Here's Wayne LaPierre in front of the crazies at CPAC.
We fear for the safety of our families. It's why neighborhood streets that were once filled with bicycles and skateboards and laughter in the air now sit empty and silent. In virtually every way, for the things we care about most, we feel profound loss. We're sad. Not because we fear something is going wrong, but because we know something already has gone wrong. That's why more and more Americans are buying firearms and ammunition. Not to cause trouble.
All right, pause it for 1 second. I just want a note. Of course, the reason why Americans are buying more firearms and ammunition is because there's not enough kids on the streets with skateboards and playing stickball. Hold on. Let's continue.
Okay. Can I say one thing before you go back from the pause? For everyone listening to this, you know how, like, when you get a fortune cookie and you add in bed at the end? add to every sentence Wayne LaPierre says, add at the end, because whites are shrinking demographically.
Go.
But because that America is already in trouble.
Whites are shrinking.
In this uncertain world, surrounded by lies and corruption everywhere you look, there is no greater freedom than the right to survive and protect our families with all the rifles, shotguns, and handguns we want. We know in the world that surrounds us, there are terrorists and there are home invaders, drug cartels, carjackers, knockout gamers, and rapers, and haters, and campus killers, airport killers, shopping mall killers, and killers who scheme to destroy our country with massive storms of violence against our power grids or vicious waves of chemicals or disease that could collapse our society that sustains us all. So, I ask you, all of you here today, do you trust this government to protect you?
No.
We are on our own. That is a certainty.
I don't know really where to stand. I mean, to start with this insanity, but
you need
your
guns to shoot the chemicals out of the air.
That's right. You need the guns to shoot the chemicals out of the air. But I will say this, credit where credit's due. At least he acknowledges that rape is real.
He does. That's true. For a Republican, that is a step forward. Right. He didn't say what should happen to the baby, to any potential child afterwards, if it was God's gift or not.
Right. He didn't say that.
Kind of finish off his job as a Republican.
But he didn't.
World of genuine rapists.
That's right. He didn't qualify by saying there is, this world is full of genuine, legitimate rapists. So I guess
Did you notice also he said rapers, not rapists.
Right. Yeah. Rapers.
Rapers, you know, rapists are just kind of friendly.
Well, to be fair,
he
just needed rapers to rhyme with knockout gamers.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, you can't
rapers,
say knockout
gamers,
gamists.
Silly framers.
You know, but
and sometimes we have lion tamers.
But
he could have been doing a whole thing, really.
But this speaks to the larger conservative project. I mean, I would imagine almost every panel or every speech could be summed up by this vision of loss. We have lost the right to marginalize gay people. We now have lost, like you say, our demographic advantage. And now we have to at least pay some lip service to the fact that there are non-white people in America. We are losing our moral compass because of, I don't know, the lack of guns. People aren't going on skateboards. We've lost skateboards now.
I see it in my neighborhood. No one's laughing. Skateboards are just lying out in the streets now.
Yes.
Dogs and cats living together. Yeah.
Kids playing video games, I guess, indoors. But, you know, this notion of they're under siege. And on some level, they are so regressive that they are always under siege because time moves forward. And while certainly in some areas we seem to be regressing, in other areas, inevitably, we have emancipation movements where people are getting rights that they just don't like. People are becoming citizens with the full complement of rights. And this is – and so guns – for them is one of their cultural touchstones that will somehow stop this, I guess, by, like Matt said, shooting at chemicals or shooting at the absence of skateboards. I'm not sure how that works, but
there's no laughter in the air and you start shooting.
Guns are the reasons why those playgrounds are empty and the skateboards aren't being used.
Well, unlikely. Well, I mean, the reality is that, you know, what they need to do to continue to, you know, function as a trade organization is to make people feel like, you know, there are knockout gamists and carjackers that are going to take. And, you know, the fact of the matter is crime is down. Violent crime is down across the country.
Yes. I think Wayne Pierre is actually America's knockout gamer.
Yeah, exactly.
This is his knockout game. This is what he does. Look, there are a number of things in that speech. It's so hard to unpack all of them because there's so many things. I mean, there's general themes. I mean, one of them, of course, we're in this alone, which is, the core of the conservative project.
Yes.
Which, you know, when we were all prosperous and growing together between the 40s and the late 70s, was the notion had been accepted that we are a republic, that we were all in this together. That if the CEO does well, the workers do well. You know, if we've got peace, it's better for all of us. You know, all these sorts of notions. If we're moving forward on civil rights, it's better. I mean, obviously there was resistance to that in parts of the country, major parts of the country, but that speaks to actually who he's talking to here, because really, if you listen, all this is the Nixon's Southern strategy with a 100-round, you know, drum magazine attached to it. He's speaking to the same people George Wallace was speaking to. He's speaking to Southerners and rural Northerners and Westerners in the very same language. You know, as you pointed out, violent crime is way, in the real world outside of that bubble that he creates. In the real world, violent crime, all of crime, is down. The only reason why we have higher violent crime than most, virtually all, you know, all other first world or developed nations is because of him and people like him, because of the easy access we give to the people that will go and be those shopping mall killers he's talking about, and airport killers he's talking about, and campus killers, as his organization just pushed a bill in Idaho to allow open and concealed carry on campuses, which is probably going to be the first state in the country to allow that everywhere. And, you know, you can see the different visions right there. Right to the east or to the west of Idaho, you've got Washington State, which just passed a strong gun safety bill to crack down on allowing those with misdemeanor assault, domestic battery, from getting their hands on firearms. They're moving in the right direction. Right next to them, Idaho, you have this completely opposite. What's different? Well, you know, we know what's different about those two states. I mean, one is a state that has, you know, urban, suburban, multicultural areas, and one is mostly rural and mostly white. And I don't say that to insult all white people. You know who I'm talking about here, older, whiter, fatter, more evangelical, and the rest of it. And so, you know, this is – he's talking this whole thing here. I mean, it's funny because at one point he actually stole a line from Independence Day, you know, and he gave the Bill Pullman speech, you know, when they're going to go, or they won't go gently into that good night or whatever.
Right.
We won't go gently into the night. And in that movie, of course, Will Smith, an African-American, is one of the heroes, which OJ I find interesting, because the truth of the matter is the picture he's painting, I'll say this as a New Yorker, someone who grew up in New York City, he's painting that picture of New York in the late 70s, early 80s, when all the movies were like Death Wish,
right,
you know, and Escape from New York, right? Because we had to be protected by Snake Plissken from Isaac Hayes. Why was that? You know? And Charles Bronson had to go on subways and shoot people who mostly were black for some strange reason. You know, that of this sort of place under siege, but, you know, where crime rates were higher and all that kind of thing from 30 years ago. It's not to say there aren't still neighborhoods that are dangerous and the rest. It's just to say that's what pervaded our culture. So really all he is like a 1980s movie. He's trying to scare people in that way. And so I found that interesting, too. But I mean, that's really what this comes down to. This is that in the late 70s, I'm trying to remember when this survey was taken, 50% of households owned guns. We're now down to under a third in this country. And we, you know, where are they concentrated? In the areas he's speaking to. And he needs to get the same people,
right,
who are trying to fill those bunkers in their basements to buy 15, 20, 25 guns, more exotic guns, more military-style weaponry, whatever you can get to make up for most of the rest of us that want to live in a civilized society, so that gun ownership is shrinking. And that's really the story here.
Yeah, exactly. And so let's move on to the it's always about the sort of this culture for the conservatives, but it is sometimes shrouded in some type of economic message. Paul Ryan spoke to the CPAC audience, and he's come out with his report that purports to show that the war on poverty was ineffective. And of course, citing this time a bunch of academic studies where nearly every person cited in his report has said he miscited me, essentially. He picked and chose certain parts of the report and didn't actually give what we actually found, which, of course, you know, apparently somehow he is inoculated from any type of accountability. I mean, in some ways, Paul Ryan is his own walking Benghazi. No way, he's never accountable. But
he is just a walking sort of Benghazi combined with an IRS testimony being given in front of Daryl Issa. You know, it's so true, though. It's that culture of where Daryl Issa can make a statement, as he did, you know, with Elijah Cummings, and then after his statement is made, the rebuttal to point out that what he's saying is completely false, you shut down the microphone. That's what Paul Ryan is.
Now,
he's a shut-down microphone.
I want people to listen. We've got a significant – I mean, it's a fairly long clip of Paul Ryan, and we will stop this. This is – I think this is sociopathic, but listen to Paul Ryan retell this story about a kid who gets free lunches at school. This is the vision of this guy. Well, let's just play.
We are going to show the country that there is a better way. You know, the way I see it, let the other party be the party of personalities. We will be the party of ideas.
Pause it. Yeah, we have to stop and just laugh.
Was that irony?
We have to stop and just laugh. We have to stop and just laugh. I mean, there's the conservative movement is so obsessed with Barack Obama as an individual that it is beyond the pale. I mean, down to, going over what clothes he wears at any given point. But go.
I'm optimistic about our chances because the left isn't just out of ideas. They're out of touch. Take Obamacare, not literally, but figuratively here, okay? We now know that this law will discourage millions of people from working. The left thinks this is a good thing. They say, hey, this is a new freedom, the freedom not to work. I don't think the problem is too many people are working. I think the problem is not enough people can find work.
Now let's pause it here, because now we've talked about this in the past. Even the audience is confused by what he's saying here, because we know that the CBO report showed that Obamacare is going to allow a couple of million people, maybe 2.5 million people over the next 10 years to leave the workforce voluntarily because they will not be locked in a job because they cannot get health insurance. This will then open up these jobs for other people. And the idea, you know, I'm sure there are people in the audience going, hey, wait a second. We're going to have more of an option as to whether or not to work. And that we're talking about mostly people in their late 50s,
right,
early 60s, who will have this opportunity. And you got to remember, you know, 10 years out from now, about 10 years out from now, the full retirement age will be at 67. So you're talking about people maybe even in their mid-60s, 65-year-olds, who will be able to say, you know what, I don't have to work full-time right now. I can leave the workforce. And no one can complain with that. And he doesn't do quite enough job of conflating those two concepts that people can actually give a full-throated clap. So they get this sort of anemic, like, yeah, I know this is an applause line. All right, but let's get to the meat of his comment.
The more exciting part, even.
Indeed.
If that's possible.
And if people leave the workforce, our economy will shrink. There will be less opportunity, not more. The left is making a big mistake here. What they're offering people is a full stomach and an empty soul. The American people want more than that.
They better have an empty stomach.
You know, this reminds me of a story I heard from Eloise Anderson. She serves in the cabinet of my buddy, Governor Scott Walker. She once met a young boy from a very poor family. And every day at school, he would get a free lunch from a government program.
I have no doubt that someone in Scott Walker's cabinet met a poor child only once. Go.
Well, she tripped over him when she was looking at her smartphone, and he was on the street.
God.
He told Eloise he didn't want a free lunch. He wanted his own lunch, one in a brown paper bag, just like the other kids. He wanted one, he said, because he knew a kid with a brown paper bag had someone who cared for him. This is what the left does not understand. We don't want people to leave the workforce. We want them to share their skills and their talents with the rest of us.
Pause.
Through sharing paper bags.
Now, of course, here, people are confused again. Wait a second. What has this got to do with it? If someone has the ability to leave the workforce, the ability to leave a workforce, that means that they have the ability to feed their children. And
I'm still stuck on the fact that sometimes, you know, we'll put my older son's lunch in sort of this, you know, little package thing with, you know, an ice pack in it to keep it cool, but we don't put it in a paper bag.
Well,
so I'm starting to worry now that he thinks we hate him.
All right.
I just can't believe that he just said that if you can't afford to give your kid lunch, you don't care about your kid.
Yeah,
that's
continue.
Just disgusting.
We'll deal with this as a whole in a moment.
People don't just want a life of comfort. They want a life of dignity. They want a life of self-determination. A life of equal outcomes is not nearly as enriching as a life of equal opportunity.
All right. So here we have,
I don't know what else to say. Does he mean the equal opportunity that comes with his going to high school and college and my dime? Or does it come with the equal opportunity that comes with his parents making all their money on contracts given to them by the government in Janesville, Wisconsin, so that he can live the life he's lived where he's never had a non-government paying job or wingnut welfare paying job in his entire life? That's kind of what I'm wondering, this guardian of the free market.
Well, but you know,
unbelievable.
Aside from just the general sociopathy here, first off, you know, he's saying that people don't want equal outcomes. You know what? That kid was asking for an equal outcome. He was saying that I want my parents to have the ability to provide me with that lunch on a daily basis in a brown paper bag. I mean,
cutting income taxes on high earners.
And beyond that, There's built into this notion is the idea that, you know, you're getting that free lunch is preventing you from getting that lunch from your parents. It's as if the idea, you know, it's like, you know, if you get subsidized housing, that's preventing you from living in the penthouse in a luxury apartment. This is absurd. It's absurd.
Yep.
And really, you know, even more so, what he is making the argument for here. And of course, the irony is just dripping and the notion of like, you know, these are the guys who want to cut food stamps, which
right.
allow for kids to go to school with their own
food stamps, unemployment insurance, you know, health care that's being given, health care subsidies given to people, which also allow them to have free preventative checks and the rest. I mean, anything that could allow that family to not be in debt and to save enough money to be able to pay for that lunch is what these people want to cut. That's why I said he's just such a little swarmy asshole. I mean,
he's not the first person to point out this dynamic. I got to say, there was another, I've heard a lot of this before. Let's play it. Let's play this clip. Tell me if this doesn't resonate with you.
Ice cream.
No, it'd be one kid on the side, they get no ice cream, and kids don't care. They go,
you don't have no ice cream. You didn't get none. You didn't get none. You didn't get none. You didn't get none.
Because your father's an alcoholic.
You can't afford it. You can't afford it.
Other kids joining,
you can't afford it. You can't afford it. And his father is an alcoholic. He wants some ice cream. He wants to eat some of my ice cream, but wanna lick?
Psych.
You want some ice cream. You want some ice cream.
Now, of course, Paul Ryan would say that kid doesn't get an ice cream, but of course he has the dignity.
Oh, I had that whole
thing getting a free ice cream.
Man, in the 80s, I used to love that.
Paul Ryan, what are you going to offer the kid the psych lick?
Now,
I know. That is
one
the Republican
lick psych.
Go ahead.
And
yeah, I mean, that's the Republican theory of life right there. Eddie Murphy when he's being funny. That was perfect.
And we should also note that what Paul Ryan is making an argument here is universal free lunch. I mean, if we want to rid the stigma of kids getting a free lunch, then you offer a free lunch to everybody at the school. That's the way you get rid of that stigma. You make a free lunch universally.
It's a great point. It's the reason why, you know, conservatives are always trying to do things with means testing of programs like Medicare and Social Security.
That's right.
They want to create that stigma.
That's right. At the same time, he will call for means testing on Social Security or on Medicare. The reason why they don't say that people are stigmatized and don't have their dignity when they get Medicare is because everybody gets it. And
that's right.
And let this be a lesson for those who want to means test something like Social Security or Medicare in that way, aside from it not saving any money from a policy standpoint, and aside from the fact that you can easily do this by taxing up front the payments into these things, they want to stigmatize people.
He's it's hard to control myself because he's such a fraud. I mean, this is one of the, you know, Paul Krugman has done a lot, but I'd say that one of his largest contributions to our public conversation was being a man of real numbers and understanding economics and literally tearing Ryan apart constantly, as he just did again, and pointing out that this guy is a fraud, that he is not a numbers guy, that he's pulled something over on, you know, sycophants in the media on the right and in the mainstream media and others who just don't get the numbers. I would respect him more if he would just stand up there and say, if you don't have lunch, that's your problem. That's not government's role, right? But what I can't stand is this complete sophistry where he gets up and he acts like, you know, that by taking things away, we can make things better.
Right.
And actually tries to have that make sense and has these crowds cheering as if what he's doing is compassionate, as if what he's doing will make things better, and what government's doing is actually hurting people. It's just, it's sickening. And it's sickening even more when it's a guy who, again, went to high school and college that we paid for, which I'm glad to pay for his high school and college, not him specifically, but those who need it. But that he has benefited so much from government programs and from government contracts and from government paychecks, and yet this person can sit there and say the things he's saying. He's sickening.
Yeah, and you know, just to pivot on one of the things he said at the top of his speech, this idea of individuals. I don't know if Paul Ryan has seen every conservative pundit and every conservative lawmaker and every Republican lawmaker who's gotten on television and talked about how manly Vladimir Putin is, and how stroking a tiger with no shirt on and shaving his chest or whatever it is that he's doing.
Those slightly drooping boobs of his are so hot.
And meanwhile, this fembot, Barack Obama, is just sitting back and allowing, you know, just oozing weakness. And so that Putin decides now's the time for me to strike at Crimea because, you know.
Right.
Obama's getting a manicure or something, or a pedicure.
As Tommy, I don't know if you've ever met Tommy Christopher of Mediaite, who sent out a great tweet earlier where he just said only one word for this: overcompensation. And it was the picture of Mitch McConnell holding up the gun.
Yeah.
I mean, that is literally, that's the Republican Party. They are the party of overcompensation. Really, they're scared little children who aren't smart enough to figure out the complexities of the world hiding under their bed sheets. So because of that, they need guns and they need to launch bombs at people and they need conspiracy theories because, you know, and to believe in superstitions, because figuring things out that are nuanced and complex would be a little too difficult and a little too frightening.
Yeah. And the idea, I mean, frankly, I'm not convinced that there are such overriding national security issues in what has happened so far. In Russia. That's not to say that, I mean, in Crimea, that's not to say that this isn't a big issue, but I think it's more of an EU issue, and it becomes sort of as a bank shot for us because of the implications of the EU and NATO. But
Yeah, I mean, we have to pay. Look, on that issue, I think it's important to pay attention to because of the history there, the history in that region, obviously, because, you know, again, as we've said, conservatives don't like to do nuance. They just go blow the place up, put anybody in power who's there, because that's what they do. That's what John McCain and Lindsey Graham do when they're not, you know, rug shopping in Shoreham Market. They're busy saying, oh, yeah, if we just go in, and then you find out that John McCain's hanging out with, like, Syrian rebels who happen to be terrorists who've kidnapped people. He's going to hanging out with Gaddafi, sending out wonderful tweets about him. You know, any given point, whoever's not McCain's enemy is his friend, which is kind of the way Congress works for him too. But that's sort of the neoconservative mindset, which is understanding that there's numerous forces in the Ukraine. There's also, I mean, Ukraine was a hotbed of fascism. There were large entities in the Ukraine in that area that were supportive of Hitler. So it's understanding that there's a neo-fascist movement that was striking out against Putin's pal. There was a democracy movement. And these are all things we need to understand how they can impact the EU, understand that there can be nuclear weapons involved, potentially, if we're a little concerned that Vladimir Putin is not all there. You know, if we listen to conservatives, we wouldn't have done nuclear non-proliferation, and we would have just said, after the Soviet Union collapsed, yeah, keep those nukes, Ukraine. And look where we'd be now. But that's the kind of stuff that Dick Lugar did when there used to be people that were actually somewhat smart conservatives. I think when he even worked with a guy named Obama on that stuff. And but they kicked him out of the party because he didn't think rape was something given by God. So, you know, there you go. There's the whole philosophy. Let's just go head first into another war.
And we should say, obviously, negotiations are ongoing. Kerry is over there. The Treasury Department is at least sort of vaguely threatening to impose sanctions on individuals and entities responsible for Russia's military takeover.
I think there were some smart European arguments made by some of the European officials. I'm trying to remember who it was. You know, if you want to strike out at Putin, he really only cares about the oligarchs there.
Right.
So, you know, set up a system where they can no longer go to Saint-Tropez. They're banned, right? You start hurting them with their vacations and their
visas,
money that's held abroad, you know, and their country houses, and suddenly Putin will be hearing a lot about it. I mean, there are smart ways of doing this that don't involve launching missiles. And right now, you and I, not people who have known to be uncritical of Obama when criticism is required, I think for the most part is handling it, and so is John Kerry, exactly the right way, building coalitions. Realizing that this is on Europe's soil, that we can't take the lead on everything. We need to be, you know, very involved, of course, with NATO's treaty. But, I mean, Jesus Christ, if it had been up to John McCain, you know, Georgia would have been in NATO, Georgia, the country, that is. And when Russia attacked them, went back 2007, 2008, we potentially would have been in a nuclear war. You know, that's the thinking that's on the other side. You know, and so we need to be tough with Putin. We can't just say, hey, yeah, sure, Crimea, take it. Go wherever you want. I mean, we need to meet that with some strong force in terms of what we have to say and potential sanctions and the rest. But again, you know, war should be a last option for just about every reason.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, the response seems to be, you know, we need to build Keystone XL, which has absolutely zero to do with any of this. I mean, you might as well be talking about we should be building more radio transistors. I mean, it's wholly unrelated. The idea that we could begin to export natural gas is also just absurd. It's simply not economically feasible for companies in this country to do so. I was on Hayes the other night with an energy expert who was basically saying, look, there are six natural gas importers. One or two are trying to retrofit themselves as exporters. It costs billions of dollars. They're going to lose their shirts on this because the price of natural gas, by the time they could possibly even remotely come online, will be higher, and they will lose tremendous amounts of money trying to do this. We can't obviously build a pipeline to the Ukraine or to Germany because we're on a different continent.
Oh, come on.
It's absurd.
That from our house too.
It's absurd. But let's.
But if Putin saw us drilling, he would know we were men. And
that's
he would
right.
be like, they drill, and now it's different. I'm a staff.
Well, what we really should be doing is drilling with our bare hands.
And you know, we should be drilling with a freaking bear. Just pick up a bear and start drilling it through the ground, because that's what
Obama
Putin do.
Drill with bear, withdraw troops now.
Oh, God. All right.
We've
now,
got
hold on.
Started.
I just got a story that apparently just came out. Just as a coda to this, I want to talk just briefly about Abagdile and his nomination to the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division.
Yeah, that's had me kind of pissed off this week too.
But Catherine Thompson over at TPM is reporting that the Washington Post, Glenn Kessler, had looked into the tale of this woman, Louise Anderson, who told of this poor boy that she met, who wanted who felt that even though he was getting free lunches, he had a full stomach, but an empty soul. Glenn Kessler gave it 4 Pinocchios. Because Anderson presented it out of context. He found that Anderson told the story at a 2013 congressional hearing that Ryan chaired and claimed she had spoken to the boy herself, but apparently her story closely paralleled an exchange from a book called The Invisible Thread, in which an executive offers to give young homeless panhandler money to eat for the week or else make lunch for him for each day. The boy insists on having his lunch made for him in a brown paper bag because that means somebody cares about him. This story is a complete lie.
Which, like, what
it has
new
nothing
here,
to do with
right?
school lunch whatsoever. Nothing to do with school lunch.
Nothing to do with school lunch. Nothing to do with getting a free lunch, because in both instances, the lunch is going to be provided for this person. It is just that getting the lunch from home creates an emotional attachment. If that's the case, then Paul Ryan should either be advocating for A, universal free lunch to not stigmatize kids, or B, direct payments to these families to provide lunch for their kids.
And that Scott Walker aide didn't even trip over a kid on school lunch.
Right.
She never even spoke to him.
She heard about a guy who wrote in a book a story.
Who knew a guy, who knew a guy, who knew a guy, who
knew
a guy.
Who knew a poor homeless
kid. Who knew a poor freaking kid, all right? Give me a break. Jesus.
The author of the book.
These guys should just tell more of these stories.
The author.
There was once this young orphan. Her name rhymed with Manny.
Yes.
And this guy is this billionaire Republican out of the kindness of his heart. His name rhymed with Fatty Darbucks. Took her in. And after that, she was able to live a great life because the Republicans are compassionate. And oh, wait, we took that from somewhere? I mean, did these guys, I mean, did they get this from Rand Paul's Wikipedia site?
I remember when I was at a homeless shelter providing meals, and one young boy, a blondish boy, came up to me and said, "Please, sir, may I have some more?" And I said, "Of course you can." All right.
And
well,
I turned to him and I said, "Never before has a boy asked for more."
All right, let's.
I knew an old woman. She lived in a shoe.
I couldn't even imagine how lazy Paul Ryan is. He can't even make up his own fake story.
I know. Next time he's getting up, he's like, "There once was a man from Nantucket."
All right, let's just touch on this story because we only got a couple of minutes here. Just briefly. I mean, I touched on it yesterday. You've got Debo Adegbile. He was a head of the NAACP's Legal Defense Fund. They represented Mumia Abu-Jamal about 30 years after he had been convicted. He was on death row. They were bringing up a case which involved improper directions to the jury and some improper jury selection. They prevailed in this case on appeal. He was taken off a death row. The Republicans used that as a way of stirring up a racial animosity. It, ultimately, for them, it was just about trying to gut the Civil Rights Division. But you had seven yep. Democrats who sort of bought into this notion of, rather than fight this Willie Horton thing, I'm just going to go along with it.
Yeah, it's really, again, I mean, the more you look at it, from the Wayne LaPierre speeches that we've been talking about today to attacking, you know, the free lunches and food stamps, I mean, the more you realize everything is still about race. I mean, there's certain other themes that tie in. There's definitely the masculinity, and that's attacking, you know, that's why they attack women and attack gays and others for their silly sense of masculinity. But, and I put that in quotes, by the way, but so much of it is still about race. And so is this. You've got, you know, this unbelievably qualified guy. He's African American. He defended somebody African American, you know, who obviously wasn't exonerated, right? But the trial was overturned because of
yeah, the sentencing was found to, was reversed, at least or mitigated, because the court agreed.
Right. So what they're doing is they're playing on race. In this particular case, what this guy did is in the best traditions of the United States. It seems to be that they're throwing this out of our Constitution, where everyone, I mean, this was something the founders revered. The founders, these guys say they loved. So much so that John Adams, of course, as famously is told, defended the British soldiers at the Boston Massacre and got a bunch of them off. Because what do you, you know, this is what our country is supposed to be founded upon. That you do this. And there's this guy, I can't think of what, oh, that's right. His name is John Roberts, right. who did some pro bono work for a serial killer who murdered multiple people. In fact, two of them who he murdered, two kids, the serial killer, were on the way to church when he killed them. Can you imagine if that had been a Democrat who'd done that?
Right.
The ad Republicans would put out?
Right.
But that's what John Roberts did. And you know what? He did his constitutional duty. He did what lawyer should do in that particular case, not since he's been on the Supreme Court, but he defended somebody because that's the system we have, and that's the system we're supposed to revere. And yet, this is something they've used against somebody, basing it purely upon race. But I will say one thing, maybe it's because I've complimented President Obama already this show, so what I giveth, I have to taketh away. You know, the whole operation around this is just embarrassing to me. It just seems like they've learned nothing about messaging and communications. No sort of hint ahead of time that this could cause controversy. This is the kind of thing that if you're vetting people, you should know this is the sort of play Republicans will make. And if you know that ahead of time, what do you do ahead of time? You come out and you talk about this man and how he's done what's in the best traditions of our history, and like John Adams, and you bring up John Roberts and you compare his actions to others. You make them have to defend picking John Roberts to be the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court if they've
right.
got a problem
right.
with this.
Right.
You know, you
right.
make sure you've lobbied senators and provided, you know, any kind of public relations needed. You have him do interviews with people. You have interviews done with people he's defended, whose lives he's saved. Maybe people that were convicted wrongly or others. I mean, there's so many ways to get out ahead of this story.
When you introduced him, when you introduced that nomination, you should have quoted that story. You're absolutely right. You should have said, the president should have said, just as when John Roberts took a pro bono case of this murderer of multiple people.
Serial killer.
Yes. And just as he did that, Dabo also did this. That should have been front and center. You're absolutely right. It was very poorly handled. Very
I mean, it's just
him.
Terrible, and that's what allows these Democrats, you know, which
yep.
still shouldn't be allowed to me,
to peel off. And, you know, and I mean,
that's
it's
right.
amazing to me.
This
I mean,
is
Heidi
not...
Heitkamp and Mark Pryor, you know, are busy voting against the background checks to make sure that more cop killers actually can get their hands on guns. But when a guy gets a fair trial for being accused of killing a cop, that's a problem.
That's right.
Essentially the stance of those two Democrats. The other five are just as shameful for their vote on this.
And we should be absolutely clear that it was not going to ever work with the Republicans, but those seven Democrats, they certainly would have felt a lot more pressure and had a lot more cover had the administration handled this better. And
that's right. And if he had known that there were some wavering ones ahead of time, had some sort of a public relations operation in their states to tell the story that we're telling here. It's called narrative. It's, you know, what we just did. It's not that difficult to do. Tying into what John Adams, one of our founders, did.
Yep.
The importance of this in our system to a trial by jury. It is an amendment. I know we're supposed to only care about the second one, but there's that Sixth Amendment thing, too. You know, telling that story, telling the story of what John Roberts did, not just in a sentence, maybe a couple paragraphs, go into the details of what the guy did that John Roberts defended. Make them then say that this is any different.
Right.
You know, but they just never do this. It's like there's just I don't know. There's nobody home there. They've never felt they've needed to have any kind of coordinated communications campaigns, it seems, almost ever. A few times they've pulled them together, but I mean, it's sort of like what we saw on larger issues like health care and other things. I don't know what the hell's going on there. I really don't.
All right, Cliff. As always, a pleasure to talk to you this week, and got to run, but have a great week.
You too, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Cliff Schechter, everybody. God. He makes a great point about the failure of the administration to see this. I mean, this is what they do, right? This is their job.
You think Fox News and the Republicans in the Senate, who are working hard to undermine voting rights efforts, will use this whole Mumia Abu-Jamal case in the nomination process?
Nah, I doubt it.
Relax.
Well, Don, it's not like these aren't people who are going to talk about three Black Panthers downtown in Philadelphia.
What have you been doing,
reading
7 years? Or
are
something?
They? No, I wouldn't worry about it. That's not going to.
All right, let's write the TPP brief, and
that's right.
Good to go.
Let's get out there and get people to fast track this stuff. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back with Isabel Gillies. We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report. Folks, on casual Fridays, you know what I do. I have a comedian or a best-selling author or incredibly talented actor and good friend on. And this week, we've got 3 out of 4. And actually, she's quite funny herself. Best-selling author. Good friend, talented and famous actor will be on to give us a movie recommendation for the weekend because I need to watch streaming movies because my family doesn't let me out of the house. It's Isabel Gillies. But first, of course, We need the Isabel Gillies theme song.
Today is Casual Friday. Let us welcome Isabel Gillies to the show. She's going to recommend a movie or two to watch on Netflix. It's the only way I know. Listen to the picks from Isabel. IsabelGillies.com.
Isabel, how are you? It seems like ages. Like ages.
I know. I don't even remember the last time, but it was in the deep freeze. Not that we're out of the deep freeze, but it was really in the deep freeze.
It's pretty deep freezy around here. And now we're never going to see each other ever again. I haven't seen you a drop off once this whole year. Well, I should remind people that Isabel and I are both elementary school parents. And mm-hmm. our kids used to attend the same school, but when I never saw Isabel at drop-off, I said, forget it, I'm going to move to Brooklyn.
That's such a wild move. I don't know, people, moving to Brooklyn, first of all, that sounds like, oh, I have to move to Brooklyn. But actually, Brooklyn, that's like saying, I'm going to move to Miami Beach. Or something. It's,
what?
It, here it's very, it's like,
I gotta say,
cool
in Brooklyn it is like
75
degrees.
No, I'm just saying, like, you went the hipster road. You ditched the tried and true Upper West Side, and you're like, you know what, I'm just gonna be a little cooler and move it all to Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's true.
You're pulling like a cooler, I'm cooler than you move there.
Well, I didn't want to be so direct about it, but I mean, if
no,
you,
people
you know,
that live in Brooklyn,
apparently
are
message received.
Cool.
What?
You know what?
Apparently message received.
No, it's fine. It makes me sad, of course, because I will never see you again.
I gotta say, after the whole. Super Bowl fiasco
Super Bowl
between
party.
Us. I realized, like, what's the point? Why am I sticking around
by
this neighborhood?
By the way, everyone, later I texted, you know, you can totally come to our party, and Sam wrote back, I have plans.
Well, yeah, I made plans when it became clear to me that you had shut me out of here. I mean,
well,
just to remind
happened?
People, Isabel came on and was like, oh, I've got, I'm doing 14 different types of artisanal wings.
No, but listen, it was actually sort of a disaster because we get our chicken wings from Blondie's, which is on 79th Street.
So and now Blondie's and, is like one of the, like, I guess one of the, like the original sports bars, which I had no idea I lived so close to, but I think I went there once. They had good wings.
Whoa, they are delish. Not different than Bon Chon, but they have these amazing wings. So we order them. You have to call at, you know, noon on like the month before the Super Bowl or whenever they announce who's going to be in the Super Bowl, whenever it becomes clear, then the next day you have to call at noon and order your wings. And they're very strict about it. And, you know, you do it a lot in advance and you can only have 25 of one kind, 25 of the other. It's a whole thing. So
let me ask you this. We know the Super Bowl is going to happen every year. Why do they have to wait to find out who the teams are in there?
I don't know. Just call Blondie's if you have that question because
right.
I just do what they tell me. I'm
okay.
A follower. So I order the rings. I dutifully do it on time. I have my order. The Super Bowl comes. The pregame is supposed to come by 5:45. They don't come. They don't come. They don't come. Kickoff happens. people are there. I've made, you know, what, 50, 60? But
no. What?
I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, no, there was like, you know, like our upstairs neighbors, friend of my kids. There's like maybe like 12 to 20 people here.
Oh,
okay.
I see. So people you barely knew.
They don't come.
You were reaching the outer reaches of your social network, but somehow I didn't get an invite. That's fine.
Okay, listen. They don't come. I can't get them on the phone. The Super Bowl is like this huge blowout, right? And there's many, whoever was winning was winning. Right. So what do? I was like, screw this. I'm going down. And I just take off and walk into, like, live on in the hundreds. I go down in a taxi with my receipt. I walked into Blondie's and I was like, look, my wings aren't here. And they were like, what? Are you Isabel Kelly's? I was like, I have 100 wings coming in. They're not there. It's halfway through the Super Bowl. And you have to pay for my taxi. They're like, okay. And then they gave them to me for free.
Wow. Now is the time where we have
to. But I didn't have them for an hour. So it was not the football party of your dreams, Sam.
Now we have time for confessions. After the kickoff, or just before the kickoff, rather, I was out in front of Blondie's. And when I saw the delivery guy head towards your house on his bike, I let the – you know, it's funny you say that because we went upstairs to our upstairs neighbor, and he said, I tried to order at Blondie's, and they just laughed at me. And so he went and got Bonchon.
Oh, he tried to do it on the day?
Yeah.
He did not get Bonchon.
He did. Yeah.
He went all the way
down
to 39th Street?
They were there. Yeah, he did. And you know what? They were there at kickoff.
Very crispy.
They were great.
Those Bonchons are crispy.
Three different types of Bonchons.
Love Bonchon. Anyway, Sam, here's what's happening in my world.
Now,
I had one of those
some quality
when I was young.
Radio.
What?
I'm saying that is some quality radio.
I'm on Bonchons now.
Yeah, now of course everybody's hungry for chicken wings.
I know. my niece's bat mitzvah tonight.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Yes, I believe you're supposed to say mazel tov.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Nothing like having a wasp tell a Jew how to respond to a bat mitzvah.
Well, you said congratulations.
Well,
and I believe you're supposed
to
say
I wanted to try and be inclusive. All right.
Well, I'm down with the Yiddish.
What? You what?
I'm down with the Yiddish. If you'd said mazel tov, I would have responded in kind.
Yes, well, mazel tov is not Yiddish, but go ahead.
Okay, Hebrew. Anyway, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu.
All right. We got your bona fides.
Okay.
So wait a second. So
I'm
you're going to bat mitzvah
curlers.
So wait. So does this put you? Is this? Are you leading into what your movie pick is going to be? Because you're going to a bat mitzvah tonight.
Well.
Don't say the Chosen.
Thing. Here's the thing. Or Yentl. Here's
Yenta.
The thing.
Yeah.
Here's a real problem that I'm having. So, okay, yesterday, so the bat mitzvah is tonight, and I know I don't have to do anything for it, but I do have to get three children dressed and get out to Scarsdale, and my hair is in curlers and whatever. Okay.
Scarsdale.
Well, it is, because it's not going to last until tonight if it doesn't stay in curlers the whole day.
I understand.
Okay.
I've never seen your
hair.
And there
are pictures, and I have to go up, and I'm the one that, you know, has to take down the Torah and stuff.
Okay.
The Torah. Well, really, Peter will do that, but I'll stand there.
Right. No, I understand.
Okay.
You're going to be up on the beam.
Waiting for her to do her
Haf
Torah.
Right.
Waiting for her to do her Haf Torah. Maybe after she does it. Okay. And yesterday, we had, because I wrote an article for Savoir magazine.
Oh, what was the article?
There was a photo shoot at my house.
Wait, what? What was the article about?
It was about having lunch.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
I want your life. That's what I want.
Yeah, well.
Because I have.
Too bad.
All right. Well, so now. All right, so
I want your life because you get to be on the radio all day, which is the only thing I want to do.
All right, well then maybe we can work out a trade, but let's do it.
Maybe
after
I could
the
come in
mitzvah.
And do. Do you think I could? Do you think that
you
I could do your show
lunch?
For a week? Do you think that I'm smart enough and know enough about politics that I could do it for a week?
It would be an interesting experiment. Maybe next time I go on vacation, we'll see. We don't.
Izzy Gillies will step in.
We could do. We could
what
also
did
just.
He whisper?
We could do, we could always just record it and see how it goes.
people would probably have a meltdown.
I don't think it's a question.
You'd be like, who is this chick?
I think you could do it. I definitely think you could do it. I mean, I think, you know, it'd be a lot of reading and catching up to do, but yes. But what's,
well,
what's, what
I don't
this
understand
got to do
what's
with the
happening
mitzvah?
In the Ukraine, even though I try and understand every single day.
Well,
so,
it's,
I don't know if I could do it.
There's a lot. There's a lot there. I don't have a full grasp on it either, to be honest with you. I'm not sure anybody does.
God almighty, I was listening to NPR, and I was concentrating with all my every single last brain cell that I had. I was like, come on, Isabel, you can understand this if you try. And I just couldn't. I don't understand. Is it oil? I just don't understand.
Well, I mean, you're not looking at me to explain it, but wait a second. Where were you going with this? So you had a shoot in your house.
Yeah, I had a photo shoot in my house. Then the editor had said that the piece was due on May 7th. And then when I was talking to the food stylist, I was like, so what issue is this? And she said, the May issue. And I was like, what? Actually, the article's due March 7th. Typo. Uh-oh, SpaghettiO. So the editor's like, oh, yeah, whoopsie, it's due tomorrow. I was like, well, so I had to write an article all night last night.
I know where this
so
is
So here's, going. And yeah, here's what. Here's what I don't have. Ready? A movie. I don't have it. I don't have one.
Wow.
I don't have one. And okay, I hear the silence. It's bumming me out. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I do have, the reason why I don't have one really, besides the fact that you only told me yesterday I was going on the show, is that I have been reading a book that I would like to recommend.
All right.
And not watching TV.
Interesting.
I have not been watching TV because I'm obsessed with a book that I would like to recommend, and maybe you could start it.
All right. That's basically all I can do now with books, is I can start it. I get to like two pages in, and then one of the children demands my attention. You know, Saul turned one today.
Oh, no. Oh, he did?
Yeah.
That's so cute. Yeah. I wish I had a picture.
I'll send you one.
Wait a minute, on March 7th is his birthday? God, that year went fast.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you know what they say, the days are long, but the years are short with kids.
That is for sure. Man, sometimes in the middle of those days, you're like, is this ever going to end?
Right, tell me about it. All right, so what's the book?
Okay, it's The Goldfinch.
What?
The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt.
I've never heard of any of it. Never heard of Donna.
You haven't?
Never heard of Tartt. Never heard of Goldfinch.
You've never heard of Donna Tartt? She wrote The Secret History.
Oh, wait a second. The Secret History? I think I read that. What was the secret?
She went to Bennington. She lives in the South. She's
I
just
did
like
read
an
that
intense
book.
Writer.
Years ago, right?
Okay.
That book came out years ago.
Yes, because it takes her 10 years to write a book. This book is so good. It's, first of all, get ready for it, almost 800 pages.
Wow.
But you will feel, honest to God, you will not be able to stop watching it. And Sam, you in particular, it's very male. It's a very male. It's a male protagonist. But it is such a good book. It moves. It goes through decades. There's this theme that goes through it that is so interesting. It's like a heartbeat that just stays the entire book, and you can't believe it. And sometimes you could forget about this theme, that's this totally important thing that's happening in the book. You kind of forget about it because it's always going, and it's like how you don't really pay attention to your heartbeat, but it has to go, and then you are reminded of it, and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe she's kept that going. It's so good. It's such a page turner. It's funny. You'll love it. And I think, and honestly, I think you and Nikki should read it together.
What do you mean read it together? Like one page at a time? How do you do that?
No, you start at the same time, and then you like read it at night together. You know, once the babies go down. Listen, your kids are asleep by 7.
Really? You should tell my kids that. Is Mila stays up till...
Your kids are not in bed by 7?
Is Mila in bed by 7? What? No.
Well,
she's
old
8 and a half.
She should be in bed by 8.
Oh, she's in bed by 8, and then she's asleep by 9:15.
That's fine, but she's quietly reading or doing her loop-de-loop.
Oh, really? Quietly?
Well, you can tell her now that we live in Brooklyn. You can say, look, we moved to Brooklyn, and here's the rule in Brooklyn. You got to be quiet from 8 until you fall asleep.
Oh,
quietly reading or doing your loop looms.
That's a good idea.
While I read The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt.
I would love it if she was asleep by 8. But it's, you know, it's hard. You know, that's not so easy to get there and do that.
Why?
Well, you know, she's got, we're still going to the Upper West Side on Tuesdays, for instance, because she's in a production God, I can't remember that. I can never, I want to always say, Who Could Ask for Anything More, but that's one of the songs in it.
Anything Goes? Is that it?
Yeah, Anything Goes.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah, Anything
what?
Goes. Yeah. How do you know that?
She's in Anything Goes?
I have a sister and cousin who did a lot of these sort of plays in school, so I pretty much have them all off the top of my head.
It's an old Gershwin musical.
Well, hold on. Push the pause button, because guess who else was in Anything Goes?
You?
Me.
What role did you play?
I played Poopsie.
Poopsie?
No, that was in the pajama game. Anything Goes, I was an angel.
An angel?
Yeah. One of those, when Grandmama, whose age is 80 and nightclubs is getting made.
Oh, you were one of the Zangler girls, one of the Follies.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Mila's one of the Follies, too.
Oh, my God. It was so much fun. I wish I could find a picture right now.
Well, I wish you could, too. All right, well,
let's sing a song from it. Let's sing another song.
No.
But there is a dark, secluded place, a place where no one knows your face, a dash of wine, a warm embrace.
Right,
it's
Isabel,
called.
You don't want to hit the Manischewitz this early before the bot.
Before the bot.
Well, all right, Isabel.
Wait.
I've got to go because I'm hosting another radio program later this afternoon. So
you are? What is it?
It's the Tom Hartman program.
Really?
Yeah. Don't take offense. It's not like I didn't. You know, invite you to my
football
Super Bowl party.
Are you mad that you're not invited to the bat mitzvah?
Well, it would have been nice. The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt. I'm going to read it.
I urge you to read it again. It's so good, and you'll love it, and you'll think it's smart and amusing, I swear. And it's you know what? Come on. Let's get off movies for a little bit and TV. And
well, I think
we just did
that.
I've been addicted to it. I can't. I take it on the subway. I miss stops.
Wow, that's great. That's
yeah.
You've got to be careful. Do you have the hardcover, or do you put it on like a Kindle or something?
No, I'm a hardcover girl.
All right.
It's about 40 pounds, but I don't care.
Yeah, I can't carry that around. But I'll put it on my
But you have a lot of time. You have a lot of time on the subway now.
That's right. But I'm usually like pulling stories. I load up my Twitter feed and emails, and then I'm pulling stories. But
No. Take a break. Do something for yourself, Sam, okay?
This is my prescription for
you. During the subway,
yeah.
You are going to read The Goldfinch.
Right,
and everybody out there, go and get it and read it too, because you won't be sorry.
Isabel Gillies, folks. Breaking.
Sometimes, I'm a writer. Sometimes I've got to recommend a book.
Yeah, no, I like it. That was great.
Okay.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, Isabel, next time you're in the studio.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Love you guys.
Love you
Bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. There it is. Isabel Gillies, folks, with a book. Now, keeping the show moving, we've got a Jimmy Reefer Cake song.
We do. It's called Punk Rock Libertarian.
Oh, really?
And it seems like Jimmy Reefer Cake found another Facebook page to basically make his political ideology.
I understand. All right, let's see. Let's hear it. This is another one. Here we go.
A crazy libertarian on the phone. Maybe I'm one of them. This label gets you. In so many different ways, but maybe we should be listening, not just making fun of them. I found this libertarian Facebook page today. Oh, punk rock libertarian, more than 91,000 likes on Facebook. Suck on that. On top of the page it says love is all you need. How the hell can you disagree with that? there's a donkey screwing an elephant, and an elephant screwing a donkey. There's plenty of calls for legalizing weed. There's lots of good comments, intelligent conversation.
Conversation.
I think it's the only Facebook page I need.
Except for Majority Report.
And Jimmy Reefer King.
Punk rock libertarian. They'll hit 100,000 soon. You can suck on that. On top of the page it says, love is all you need. Tell me how the hell can you disagree with that?
I gotta say, folks, that I think I'm convinced. I mean, 80,000 likes.
Excuse you, 91,000.
91,000 likes. I'm convinced. I'm convinced. No, I'm not really. Sorry. But good song. Good song today. It's Jimmy's new muse. And
I have to disagree with one of the points he made. He said maybe you should listen to them, speaking of libertarians, instead of making fun of them. But we do listen to them.
That oh, yeah.
We get the material
oh, yeah.
to make
That's
fun
exactly
of
exactly why
yeah,
we make
I would
fun
like,
of them.
Yes.
But only just to the artistry of the song. I love the juxtaposition of calling back to the Beatles, the love is all you need, with suck on that.
Right.
That was, I liked he was playing with those edges and contrasts there. I liked that a lot.
Who gives libertarians a bigger forum on their show? I mean, that isn't a libertarian show. Who?
That
honest,
isn't very
think,
respectful of them.
I think you give them a bigger forum than even libertarian shows.
I don't know about that, but maybe.
Well, because there's so many different forms of libertarianism.
Well, no. Let's,
I doubt they bring on the other side of libertarians on their libertarian
let's
shows.
Let's revise this question. What show gives the biggest forum to libertarians that isn't a show specifically designed to defraud them of their money?
There you go.
In that case,
that
we are number one.
There you go. All right.
Although a libertarian could give us $10 a month and become a member of the majority.
That's
board
right.
At majority.
But I don't consider that defraud.
You could also buy gold through our secret gold vault.
All right. Let's take a quick.
The majority gold Bitcoin vault just for libertarians.
Let's take a phone call. No, we're just going to go right through because we got only a couple minutes left. You calling from 312 area code. Who's this? Somebody who butt dialed.
Wait. Nope, they butt dialed.
All right. I am Jimmy Sullivan. Hi, Sam. Is there going to be video like last time at Hartman's site or here? If it's not, if we don't put it on our page, we'll send it over to, we'll link you to a Hartman's page. Jesus was a lefty. As a note, less Americans are buying rifles and ammunition. However, those who are buying more. Distinction. Yes. I think Cliff made that clear. DX Fool. Hey, Sam. Is LaPierre the kind of implying that women going to abortion doctors should be armed, or am I hearing him wrong? Don, in honor of Monday's first anniversary, I just want to say that I love Matt and Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They're actually both really smart with interesting perspectives. Together, they bring a tremendous amount of insight and humor to my day. Thank you, Eminem. Wow, boy, people are really feeling like they got to make you feel better. Let's go try a different phone.
They're making you Call. Not feel better, you bitter bastard. You? Jesus.
Let's go to...
Just because you're bad at impressions.
562, area code. Who's this?
Hello?
Yes.
How are you guys doing? It's me. I called you a few weeks ago. I don't know if you remember, but I called you a few weeks ago.
I don't, but what's on your mind?
I wanted to talk about you... Hold on.
What?
Hold on. You guys there?
Yeah.
Sorry, it's because I'm using your app and your radio feeds, you know, correlating with my phone.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about Ukraine, but since you don't have much time, I want to talk about Paul Ryan. Like, what the heck is that guy thinking? Free lunches? Why the heck does he give a damn about that? Why?
Well, I think in his mind,
off.
He wants to both make himself seem sympathetic, but also to promote some type of conservative notion that it creates dependency if you feed kids. They become dependent on food and on eating.
But I just, in a way, I kind of get their methodology, but another way, it's just so stupid.
Yeah.
It just is.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Couldn't agree more with that comment. All right, but listen, I appreciate the phone call.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Martin. I'm still waiting on the explanation to what Obama should actually do in regards to Crimea. All I've heard is grow defense spending and green light Keystone, basically give Republicans all they want. Then Obama won't be a wuss. This is why I ended up defending the president. That isn't nearly progressive enough. So I end up explaining facts to the religiously uninformed. It's like all those Obamacare horror stories that end up being fake. Doesn't matter because the lies are more easily digested. You're absolutely right. It's incredibly annoying. Millington, and Sam, the conversation about cowardly Democrats who voted against Debo Abigdile. You left out Gloria Schill from Indiana, Joe Donnelly. Yes. The sad part is we in Indiana are so deprived of true progressive that we happily voted for Donnelly over Dick, God-intended rape for Happen Murdoch. I wish we had Dick Lugar back. Wise line part. Yeah. What about pipeline tunnel through the earth between U.S. and Russia? Yeah,
that would send a message.
That would send a real message. Does it count that Paul Ryan once saw a boy who might have been poor and might have had eaten a lunch? If the Paul Ryan story were true, his impulse would be to denounce the overfed American parasite mooch or poor for all their elite, luxurious paper bags, and he proposed a bill cutting off any government aid to poor persons seen using paper bags. Eric 22, today I'm listening to you guys live on the web stream. I can't think of a better way to spend my birthday. Excellent show today, guys. Will you share a birthday with my son? Kenny Pick, have you seen how empty the room was for the minority outreach panel at CPAC? To be fair, there may have been a schedule conflict with the white nationalist speakers. Okajik. Hi, Sam. Happy birthday to Saul. Happy birthday to Saul. Happy birthday to Saul. Happy birthday. What is the F is Wayne LaPierre talking about? Just the other day, I got run off the sidewalk by three teenage white boys on skateboards. All the more shocking, given the weather. What New York City needs is a stand your ground to conceal weapon law so I can protect myself because Jesus knows the government can't protect me. Oh, wait. That only works when the kids are black.
The reason they were almost knocked you down off their skateboards is because they were trying to escape all those knockout gamers.
Pirates of Destiny. Regarding the response to Ryan's speech, good to see even the CPAC crowd is getting less credulous of the tendency to treat systemic problems as personal moral ones. Indeed. Face Glazer. Wayne LaPierre's speech about streets without kids riding bikes and skateboards them seems eerily similar to the Republican ad showing a playground with a nuclear wasteland in the foreground and a swing still slowly swinging. Not surprisingly, his answer to America's problems is go out and buy shitloads of guns and ammo. Haywood. Mazel tov is Yiddish too. Broad question for you. Would you say that everybody across the political spectrum tends to see things more dualistically or in a polarized way because we have a duopoly? If somebody like No Labels or the Third Way were serious about ending polarization, the only realistic way to go about would be not to be corporatist triangulation, but splintering the existing parties. Yeah, well, they're not interested in that. But yes, I think things get more polarized because of that. Is Cliff still consulting with Libertas LLC? Looks like the Libertas LLC has been down for a while. What implications does that have for his Cliff for his theme song? I think he still is. I agree the Obama administration screwed up the Abigdile nomination. Adigble. God, I can't. Now I went to school with a kid.
Abigdile. Right?
What is it?
I think it's just Abigdile.
Abigdile. I don't think it is.
He's, what is it? Is he has Nigerian background?
Yes. Is that his background? I think so. Yeah. But shouldn't Durbin take heat as well, being the whip? Yes. Avraham, I don't know how many other Orthodox rabbis are listening, but I'm sure they're also somewhere between highly amused and plotzing. Happy birthday to Saul, Sam. By the way, I can't listen to moves like Jagger without thinking of your show, says the angry veteran. Nelly girl, rumor, John Bolton for 2016. More gas needed clown car. Wow, that would be hilarious. Liza and I, lawyer Matthew, Liza and I read The Goldfinch pretty good, but didn't like the ending. Deg Bali. Yeah, you're pronouncing it wrong. That's why. It's not a B, it's a D.
I'm so far off just listening to you. I'm trying to make the most closest rational sense of all the things you're saying. How do we actually say it?
Ah, deg, bale.
Oh, so there's no B in it.
No, you had misplaced it. A square, Sam, this Dabo episode is shameful. Makes you wonder if Obama team really wanted this. Fox started the attack weeks ago, and the robber story was not that obscure. The lack of planning and vision by Obama is appalling. Plex, plex. It's sad to see Jimmy go down the libertarian rabbit hole because he likes weed. Love the song, though. Militant apathy. Sam, have you seen True Detective yet? Final episode this Sunday. No, I'm going to. I'll dig into the whole thing.
Excellent show.
Movie recommendations. Odd Thomas. Elmec. Happy birthday, Saul. Sam, you are a genius. That Eddie Murphy delirious clip was perfect. I guess Eddie saw young Paul Ryan and incorporated him into his act. Well, it's not just me. It's also the producers here, like, what's his face? Michael. Gay Dave, I think Mr. Reefercake may be mocking those Facebook pages. Jay Tingle, incidentally, Jay, you were wrong yesterday. Sandinista, the fourth album. It's true that Matt and Michael are both very bright with interesting perspectives, but can't overlook the fact that one of them is clearly smarter than the other.
Why are you being so mean to Michael?
Yes, the fact is that Paul Ryan is weeping for humanity because he knows that no matter how hard he works there, will always be at least one poor kid who's somehow managing to eat. I think you reached the logical conclusion of your movie recommendation segment. No movement. No movie. Touché. Nathan, since Isabel dropped the ball, I have two movies I saw last weekend, DeWand and Mr. Nobody. Both are somewhat existential. The Wall is a German film, and Nobody is the best existential film I've seen since The Royal Tenenbaums. Scooter or Cans, if Isabel gets this busy again, I'd be happy to come on and recommend articles from USA Today. Born Blue, that caller must be a performance artist, can't be real. Atom Bomb, show links at majoritygeekwonk.com, .geekwonk.com. Including the Vince Vaughn quote found on the punk rock libertarian Facebook page. I've gone out and had drinks with Vince Vaughn back in the day. His politics are Corolla deep. It's Big Fame-y, FYI. Big Fame-y. I don't know why you could shoot viruses with a gun. Clearly The Walking Dead got it wrong, but I guess that show will be over the first season. I pooped my pants. Did you really, Sam? I have this... I have to use this I am handle because the app kicked me off my original handle. Kevman, what gives? I don't know why. Fry Pop Phil, Paul Ryan's so worried about the little boy getting brown bug lunch, he cut their snap. Bet the little boy wants to dinner too. Sam, you don't understand how long hard pipeline means to them. They're photo shirtless to send poo to amazing. Exile Pat, finally, left mooches in status and joined. All right. It's Saul's birthday. I got thinking about your dependents. I really do worry about those guys, Matt and Michael. Thanks, man. Thank you. Ricky, happy birthday, Saul. My son Ricky is 16 today. Pluger, read Paul Ryan. Your college just needs to understand that true Republican conservative objective is to diminish worker flexibility in general, the political power of the worker. ACA, Obamacare, all examples of programs that mitigate worker labor desperation, therefore diminishing the power of bosses, owners. Morella, Sam, you remember when there was a picture of Obama on the internet years ago without his shirt on? The right was making fun of him, but they like it when Putin does it. Happy birthday, Saul. Sam, when are you going to post a picture of us for his fans? I'm going to put one on Twitter today. Park Jr., thoughts on Bernie Sanders 2016? Great. Great.
I hope he does it.
Me too. Av Bronstein will be the final I Am of the Week. Catch the CPAC panel on prison reform with Norquist, Carrick, and Perry. Would love to hear your thoughts. All right, folks. See you Monday.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm going to get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught. See the truth in the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in, and my pilot light shining bright. choice is made for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess I lost my drive between the 101 and the 5. Do you know how far the detour takes you? Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the man's not gonna kick in. And my pilot light shining bright. The months shifted into years, while I shifted in and out of gear.